children are now dismissed for Connect Kids, and let's give them a round of applause. So, you know, one of the things that's popular these days is to do a kind of an unplugged concert where, you know, it's just the guitar or whatever, not all the electronics. And so, not intentionally, but we have an unplugged message this morning because I don't have my iPad, I'm using paper. I've got my remote, which I was ready to click, but my slides are still at home on the flash drive. So this is kind of a scaled down message, but hopefully it'll be a good message for you. He was walking toward me in the hallway at McKinsey Junior High, and now if you go by that school, it's called Rogers Middle School. I knew who this kid was, but I had never talked to him. The eighth grader who was coming towards me was Tim, and I was a tall, skinny seventh grader. And I had to admit that at the moment as he walked at me with his eyes intently focused on me, I was a bit afraid of what was going to happen next. Tim got right up in my face. And then he said, "Dawn really likes you." And with that, he continued on down the hallway. Now, I knew Tim was Dawn's friend, and I thought maybe even because they hung out a lot that he was her boyfriend. But what he said exploded a scrawny seventh grader's mind. Blew me away. Dawn liked me. She really liked me. It was music to my ears. It was incredible news. See, I had known Dawn way back into the second grade, and back then, Dawn and I were buddies. We played together all the time, just Dawn and me. Sometimes we played with dolls, I have to admit. And then in the fall of my third grade year, other kids found out about Dawn and my friendship, and they teased me relentlessly. And so I did what a lot of little boys do. I started saying that I didn't like Dawn. And to prove it, I teased her constantly, all the time, and it destroyed our friendship, as you can imagine. Well, I continued on for a few years, but by the sixth grade, I realized, you know what, I still really liked her. But now, after all that had gone, I was kind of afraid to talk to her. Well, God gave me a second chance. In the seventh grade, I sat in front of Dawn in Mr. Baker's math class. And soon we were passing notes back and forth during class. She'd tap me on the back to get my attention. It was awesome. I did my best to be as charming as a seventh grade boy can be, charming. And then that led to the day when Tim approached me in the hallway with those great words of good news. I had won Dawn back. Dawn and I went on what you might call a date a week later. We went ice skating. My sister chaperoned, and my sister gave me trouble the entire evening. Well, 2 weeks later, I decided that I liked Dawn's friend more than I liked Dawn. And all that work to win Dawn back was gone because I changed in my mind. The relationship ended, the friendship ended again. This time there was no reconciliation. But that's kind of the way middle school relationships go, isn't it? The truth is, though there are no regrets, years later I met Mary. Dawn was not even close to Mary, so I'll just say that. Anyway, I'm telling you this kind of silly story about Dawn because there are times in our life, in our world, when it gets turned upside down. That eighth grader, Tim, exploded my world back then with a very simple message. Most of the time, though, if you think about it, when our world explodes, it's not good news. It could be the death of a loved one. Or a relationship that has been broken, or a layoff, or maybe an illness. And no matter what it is, it rocks our world. And it's so hard, and we have questions at those times, and it can really test our faith. But there's other times when our world explodes with great joy-filled surprises. And so this morning, instead of focusing on those hard times that rock our world, I want us to think about those times when something good, something unexpected, something exciting happened. And when our world changes like that, it can still bring questions. It can still bring even some challenges to our faith, but ultimately, it brings us blessings. Maybe your world exploded years ago, or if you're in the choir loft up there recently when you're, well, maybe not yet, the choir loft, wait a second, guys. When your girlfriend said yes to your marriage proposal. Some of them are married up there. Or maybe your world exploded when you found out that you were going to have your first child or your first grandchild. Or you went to the doctor and you were expecting some more bad news. You'd been lots of bad news, and instead, the doctor said this. He said, the cancer is completely gone. Your world changed for the better in an instant. Or you got a promotion at work. You'd wanted this position for a long time. You didn't think you'd ever get it, and then it happened. Or teenage gals, that some teenage guy rocked your world. You had a crush on him for months, and one day you find out that he liked you as well. The gospel writer, Luke, records the day when a young girl named Mary had her world exploded by none other than God. Sarah read it just a few minutes ago. Mary was just a regular kid somewhere around 14 years old. In Luke 1:26, as we heard earlier, we read this, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, in the first words there, Luke says, the sixth month. And what he's referring to is back to Zechariah and Elizabeth's story that we talked about last week. The sixth month refers to the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And the angel who delivered God's message to Mary was the same Gabriel who gave the great news of John the Baptist's birth to Zechariah. Luke tells us Mary lived in a no-name town called Nazareth. Nazareth is not recorded in any of the historical writings of the Jewish man Josephus or in the rabbinic writings of the Talmud or the Midrash. Nazareth wasn't even mentioned anywhere in the Old Testament. If you think about it, Nazareth would be like today, like a town like Afton or Oakville or Lemay or Arnold or Fenton. It's kind of your run-of-the-mill town. The gospel of John reveals an attitude that people had about Nazareth back then. Nathaniel sarcastically asked, he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Today we might say it, can anything world-changing come out of Eureka? And the expected answer is no, not really, I don't expect it. But see, God doesn't operate that way. Gabriel announced to Mary, he started with saying, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. And some people over the years have incorrectly translated this greeting to say, Hail Mary, full of grace. There's a Catholic scholar, Raymond Brown, states that that's a mistranslation of the original text. He indicates that saying Mary was full of grace was too strong of a statement. You see, Mary received God's grace, just like you and I received God's grace. She wasn't full of grace, because if she was full of grace, the way it's referred to sometimes, that would imply that she has the ability to give grace to others, godly grace. And that's not biblical. Luke continued, though, he says, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's a lot of words, but Gabriel's basically saying there, hey Mary, don't be afraid. God is going to bless you. You're going to have a baby, and it's not just going to be any baby, Mary. He's going to be God's son, and he will be the long-awaited Messiah. Put yourself in the place of a 14-year-old virgin. Those were life-changing words. Those were words that exploded her world. And Mary replied, and her reply seems a little bit anticlimactic. She said to the angel, well, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Now, that's pretty amazing. She not only was going to be a pregnant virgin, but she was going to have God's son. And all she said is, how this is going to be? I'm thinking most young women's response might be a little more intense. They might say something like, what? You got to be kidding me, Mr. Angel. You see, when God explodes our world, we have questions, but we still believe. Mary's questions kind of show up in two places. After the angel addressed her as a favored one, Luke wrote, Mary was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Now, she didn't actually ask a question out loud there, but there was a question behind her being troubled. She was wondering, why would an angel greet me that way? And then she verbalized her second question. And it had to do with Gabriel telling that she would have a son, the Son of God. And Mary asked those words we just read, how will this be since I'm a virgin? You might remember last week in Zechariah's encounter with Gabriel, it went a little different what happened next. And based on what we heard last week with Gabriel and Zechariah, you might expect Gabriel to jump down Mary's throat for a lack of faith. Was Gabriel going to shut down Mary's mouth the same way he did Zechariah's? You see, Zechariah questioned, he said, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. Doesn't sound that different than how will this be since I'm a virgin? They're similar, but yet there's a difference. Gabriel, first off, didn't chastise Mary. Gabriel said to Mary, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your cousin, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And we have to ask ourselves, was Gabriel being gentle with Mary because she was a 14-year-old? It's possible, but not likely. I think it had more to do with Mary's faith. You see, Gabriel uttered to Zechariah, he said, you did not believe my words. Zechariah, as we read last week, he didn't have faith. He didn't believe there was any way in the world, even with God intervening, that his wife could become pregnant. But Mary, this teenage girl, believed. If God said she was going to have a child as a virgin, she was going to have a child. She didn't doubt Gabriel's message. She was simply puzzled as to how God was going to do it. And so Gabriel explained. He said, you know, God through the Holy Spirit is going to cause you to be pregnant. It wasn't a sexual encounter with the Holy Spirit. It was a miracle, an essential miracle of our faith. You see, if Jesus wasn't born of God, he was just a man. And if Jesus was just a man, he would have been born with a sinful nature. He wouldn't have been without sin, and Jesus wouldn't have been able to forgive our sins. Jesus' birth to a virgin is an essential truth to our faith. To help Mary see God's miracle-working power, Gabriel told her that her relative Elizabeth was going to have a baby because nothing is impossible with God. And you and I, sitting here today, we're also called to believe those last words of Gabriel. Nothing is impossible with God. We can be like Mary. You know what? We can have questions. It's okay to have questions. But we have to believe in God's ability to deliver on his promises. Maybe think back to that example of having your first child. When you received the news of the pregnancy, you had, or if you haven't had a child yet, you will have questions. Questions like, how can I be a parent because I'm still a kid? How can I raise a child when I've never done it before? What if I mess up? And those are all good questions. It's okay to ask questions. But you also have to believe God wouldn't give you a child unless he knew you could handle it. Or think about a promotion. Out of the blue, you got news that your responsibilities at school or at work or at church or in your family life, there was going to be more responsibility. God was telling you that he wants you to do something. But how do you do it? You may not feel qualified. You might feel inadequate, which is actually a good thing. And so it's okay to ask God questions. Again, as long as we believe that God can do whatever he asks and that he can actually do it through you and I. If God calls you to do it, he is going to make a way for it to happen. God will explode our world. Questions are okay. Belief is essential. And that belief goes hand in hand with trust. We trust even though it's going to be difficult. Mary trusted God even though her life was about to become difficult. She was going to face some huge challenges. When Gabriel told Mary she'd be pregnant, she didn't say, "No way, you got the wrong girl." She believed that somehow she would be pregnant as a virgin. And Mary trusted even though she knew her life wasn't going to be easy. If you go to Matthew's gospel, he shed some light on how tough her life was going to be. When Joseph found out about Mary being pregnant, he was ready to leave her. Now, they were betrothed at that time. They weren't married, but back then, a betrothal, to break that, required a divorce. And the apparent infidelity that many assumed happened behind that breakup opened up the possibility that Mary could be stoned to death. And we're told that Joseph didn't want to cause her harm, so he was going to just kind of keep that divorce very quiet. And then it took a vision from an angel to keep Mary and Joseph together. So that hurdle was passed, but Mary still faced some public shame. She had to explain her situation to her parents. Can you imagine a 14-year-old coming home to her parents and saying, "Yeah, I'm pregnant. God did it." As her pregnancy began to show, it's likely that people gave her looks, that they talked behind her back, or that they outright ridiculed her. It couldn't have been easy. And yet, if you read further in Luke chapter 1, Mary sings this amazing song of praise to God. Her soul magnifies the Lord. Her soul rejoiced in God, her Savior. Instead of praising, shouldn't Mary have been questioning and cursing God for making this blessing so hard? But Mary trusted. When God does something big in our life, what comes next isn't always easy. Trusting in God, though, will get you through whatever happens next. And we face these hardships because we are willing to submit. You see, when God explodes our world, we are to submit to his will, and that's exactly what Mary did. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." We might say it this way: God, do whatever you want to me. Mary submitted to what God was going to do to her. She said, "Let it be to me according to your word." But Mary also submitted to what God was going to do through her. She said, "I'm the servant of the Lord." And if you go back to the original Greek, servant there could actually be translated as slave girl. Mary was saying to God, "I'm your slave girl, God." That's submission. And we've all struggled with submission. In our culture today, submission is seen as weakness, and we want to be seen strong. But when God calls you to do something for him, whether it's little or big, it requires submission. Are we willing to say to God, "God, I'm your slave. I'm going to do whatever you want"? What if God asked us to give up our financial security for him? Would we submit? Would we be willing to give up our favorite activity if God wanted us to use that time for him? Are we willing to deny ourselves to help another person? In other words, are we willing to put ourselves out to make ourselves second or third and make that other person first to take care of them? And as I look at you this morning, I know that the answer for virtually all of you today is yes. You've already done and you continue to do what God asks you. And that's great, but I know this also, that even the most faithful followers of Jesus have times where we don't want to submit. I've been there. I remember when I first started going to the ministry. I'm embarrassed to admit this, but one of my prayers is, God, don't send me out on the mission field to a foreign country. Wasn't really submission, was it? But you've been there too. Submission means holding nothing back from God. Our prayer should be the one that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And maybe we should even add to that, no matter what. Mary shows us how to submit. I mean, she gave everything. And Mary was blessed. And we too will be blessed. But that blessing isn't always what we might think. Mary would later say, she'd said, "For behold, from now on all nations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." See, God gave Mary great joy. She knew God loved her. Mary brought our Savior into the world. She raised the Son of God. Mary's always going to be remembered. But blessings from God don't always look like blessings. Mary was blessed to be used by God, but we already talked about she had challenges. Her blessings also included pain. The prophet Simeon said this to Mary right after Jesus' birth. He said, and a sword will pierce through your own soul. Mary watched her son be ridiculed. She witnessed him being beaten. She was there when they crucified him. She was there as her son died the most painful and most humiliating deaths of the time. And if those are blessings, a lot of us might say no thanks. But if Mary could be here with us today, I guarantee you she would say it was all worth it. Her life was truly blessed. God broke into the world with the birth of his son over 2,000 years ago. He exploded the world. God changed everything. He did it in love to give us the promise of life. And God continues to break into our lives today. He might call you to do something. He may allow something to happen to you that's actually going to help you grow. He will challenge you to follow his son. And the truth is, we will have questions. There will be tough times. The blessings won't always feel like blessings. But our calling is simple. Believe, trust, and submit. If we respond in faith, those times when God explodes our world will lead to the greatest adventures we'll ever experience. He will take us to places beyond our imagination. We will do things that we thought we never could do. We will experience the love of God. And I can tell you, it's a love that's worth imitating. May Mary's words be our prayer. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Amen.